Hello.
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 Hi.
Hello. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, too.
Good evening.
Good evening. I'm going to mute.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Gedula Chimincha, Tati, Zerura, Alephet Gimel, Yutaf Sadi. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Ufreshayan Sintet Nun. The letters of the month of Adar, the Gimel that created the planet Tzedek, the planet Jupiter, and the Kuf that created the constellation Dagim, the fishes, the astrological sign of Pisces. Na gibor dorshe yehudcha kevava shamrem. Nun gimel dalet yudchashim. Barchem tacharem. Rachame Sitkacha Tamid Gamlem Betet Reish Tzaditav Gimel Chasim Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nael Adata Het Kuf Bot Bet Het Kuf Bet Tet Dunayan Yachid Geyer Lamcha p'nei zokre kedushata Yud gimel lamed pei zayin kuf Shavatenu kabel Ushma tuyakatenu Yodeya talumot Shin kufav tzadi yud taf. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of that creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apaim, V'rav Chesed V'emet, Notse chesed la'alafim, Notse alon wa'fesha, V'chata'a w'inake. We're now going to connect to the energy of certainty utilizing a verse from the Zohar, from the Sulam commentary. It's from Parashat Yitro, it's Pasuk 29. And we'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bid Hilu Erchimud Hilu Hilu Erchimu Le'achta L'shem Yud He B'vav He B'yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'ayhino Amadonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kanane Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kananehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Dekama Atar Tane Nan Dekutcha Perichu Koma De'aved Le'ela Wittata Kolaihu Kishot Be'ovada Dikshot Lach Mila Bialma Divae Barnash Vedach Yalea Mineya Ulan Haga Beya Kalana Dehakulu Ovada Big Shot Inun We're now going to connect to the energy of the year 5778, which is to bow to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. There are two verses that connect to this energy, and the first one that we will study tonight is the 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vayishkav Amnon, vayichal, vayavo, hamelech liroto, vayomer Amnon, el hamelech kavo, natamar achoti, utlabev leene, shite levivot, vievre, miada. The second verse that we study is from Psalms, it's chapter 32, verse 5. In this verse, the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Chet, is concealed. The letters of the name are separated by three letters each. Chatati odiacha, weavoni lo kisiti, amarti ode ale pishai. Ladonai ohewahe, weata nasata, awon chatati sela. The energy of the year 5777, the year of the goat, also has two verses that connect to its energy that we study. The first of these is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Tzaduni katzipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to create Tzatzkiyach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters, we have Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion. The letters of this name are separated by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai, yo he wahe, Elohechem tadibaku, kasher asitem, ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776, known as the year of the pause, also has two letters, two verses. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim hayu limat velo yachlu lehavshit et kol ha'olot vayehaskum. Achechem ha-levim, ad kelo tam lacha, v'ad yitkachu ha-kohanim, ki ha-levim yishrei leval, le-yitkadesh mei ha-kohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to permute it into eight names of God. Adonai yohe wahe, lalahe, wawawa, yolayo alame, hey, ata'a, rekaha. The second of the two verses is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bithu va'adonai yohe wahe ade ad ki biya yohe adonai yohe wahe tzur olami. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy. Job chapter 7, verse 19 is the first that we study. Kamalo Tishemi Meni Lo Tarpeni Ad Bili Ruki. Next is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru Udu Mikol Hamachavo Iyam Asher Yitchabe Sham Wishavtem Eli El Nachum Wehalakti Idchem Wehayaim Yeshno Baretz Vehipasti Oto Bekol Alfe Yehuda. And the third is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved roav yomru ayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There is only one verse in all of the Tanakh that has this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Utsamti makom leami leYisrael untati vushakan tachta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto ka'asher barishona. We'll now connect to the 72 names of God. And we will do that this tonight, rather than say the verses out, the names out loud with their root vowels, we're going to scan the chart. The reason for this is one of timing, because the class is quite long. We may end up having to do two classes with it tonight and tomorrow. There is a lot of information, is it? In it, and I think you'll find it quite revealing. So please scan row 1, row 2, row 3, row 4, row 5, row 6, row 7, row 8, row 9. Now we will do the same thing for the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. Row 1, row 2, row 3, row 4, row 5, row 6, row 7, row 8, row 9. And the Tzaddikim who left this day, which is the 12th day of Adar, Rabbi Yehuda HaHasid, a very famous Kabbalist, Rabbi Moshe Langer, the 5th Stredener Rebbe, Rabbi Shmuel Strashon of Vilna, known as the Rashash, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. What was said about Moshe Feinstein was, from Moshe to Moshe, there is none like Moshe. And the 8th verse of the Anna B'Koach, we say in a whisper. Tonight's class is an English translation of the Ari's writings on the holiday of Purim. due to time considerations, I wasn't able to put the handout on the web page. So if anybody would like to transcribe the recording, it would be appreciated and will be useful in putting this on the website for later this year or next year. The Secrets of Purim. This is taken from the Kitvei Arizal, and the translation is by Rabbi Ariel Bar Sadak. The introduction. One of the problems facing students of Kabbalistic study is how to take the Kabbalah out of its theoretical presentation and translate it into practical action. It must be accepted as a given fact that Kabbalah was never meant to exclusively be an academic pursuit, but rather a course of knowledge coupled with spiritual growth and experience that leads one to a comprehensive personality transformation. This is an unwritten commentary. On our webpage, there is an essay explaining the difference between characteristics, which is midot, and personality traits. In our generation, these terms are used relatively interchangeably, as Rabbi Bar Sadak has done here. But he's really talking about is changing our characteristics, our midot, our character traits. And that is the purpose of the study of Kabbalah. That is not the way Kabbalah is taught by most of the teachers today. Most of the teachers are seeking credits from their university. They're seeking doctorates and master's degree in the study of Kabbalah. They're not practicing Kabbalah. They're not using the tools as they were meant to be used. They're teaching about the tools, but they're not presenting the tools as tools. They're presenting it as religious dogma. This is a mistake, and that's what Rabbi Bar Sadak is saying. Rabbi Bar Sadak is one of my teachers. I agree with him that he says it's a mistake, and I agree with him that it is a mistake. Yet, always remember, just because I say it's a mistake, you have to decide for yourself. Continuing to read. The transformation of personality can never be limited to just the internal world of the individual. The individual must express the values that have been revealed to him or her through the exposure to the Kabbalistic technique teachings. These Kabbalistic values are none other than the values and mitzvot of our Torah. And it is these values and mitzvot that the Kabbalist must apply to the world around him, even as did the Talmudic sages and the biblical prophets before them. The question we must now ask is, what does the Kabbalistic meaning of Purim have to teach us about our world of action and the present political status of Israel and the Jewish people? The answer is most revealing and, unfortunately, quite frightening. As is known, when the Jewish people sin, this causes a change in the nature of our relationship to Hashem. Instead of Hashem being visibly active in our lives and society, as he was during biblical days, It appears that Hashem is somewhat more removed than he was then. People now tend to talk about Hashem as a removed and separate being, as opposed to experiencing him and knowing his reality and his nature. This lessening of Hashem in our lives and consciousness is the result of the trance of sleep, wherein which Hashem's aspect, which we call Zera Anpin, the small face, is stripped of its ability of manifestation. Zera Anpin is thus unable to function in his optimal mode of face-to-face, where Hashem and the children of Israel enjoy a natural, supernatural relationship of mutual harmony. Instead of the children of Israel experiencing Hashem through the medium of supernatural events, we now see Hashem acting through our everyday affairs. And this expression of Hashem's actions is a method of concealment. In other words, we believe in faith that Hashem is in this or that thing. But unless you look for him, you won't spot him. Instead, people will claim that there are such things as luck or good fortune without recognizing or acknowledging that there is a hand ever so invisible behind all things. This was the case in the generation of Mordechai and Esther. During this time, the sins of the children of Israel had risen to such a height that Hashem's consciousness had been lost, and Zera Anpin was put into the trance of sleep. This lack of overt divine intervention in the lives of the people was an unnerving experience for most. Yet instead of trying to rectify the damage, the people added insult to injury and attempted to live with the damage by assimilating and accepting the present course of things. These same people are the ones who bowed down to Haman when he passed by, unlike Mordechai, who did not. As is known, Purim is a holiday that was not ordained for the Jewish people with the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. Yet our sages have said that Purim was an important event in the history of the Jewish people, as was the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. Our sages say that the children of Israel received the Torah, whether they liked it or not. On Purim, all Israel received the Torah with joy and gladness. And this is a very strong statement to make. The Arizal says that in the future time, all the other books and holidays will be no more, whereas Purim and the Megillah, the scroll of Esther, will last forever. Needless to say, there is more to the Purim story than meets the eye. Even the name of the biblical book, Esther, reveals that there is a very profound secret hidden within. For the name Esther has within the word Seter, which means hidden or concealed. Something else is suspicious. Out of all the books in the Bible, the book of Esther makes no mention of the name of Hashem. It is as if Hashem is not in the Purim story. At least he is not revealed therein. This then is the secret which will be explained. Our sages teach us that when the month of Adar comes, happiness comes. There is great Kabbalistic significance to this. Purim falls 1 month to the day before Pesach. Both Purim and Pesach were days of national salvation for the Jewish people. Purim appeared to be a natural sort of salvation, whereas Pesach, the hand of Hashem. was clearly evident. In this, his selection, the Arizal will reveal to us the two types of salvation that there are: salvation in galut, in exile, and salvation in geulah, the final redemption. We will learn that both are integrally connected to one another. The secrets of the exile correspond to the Sephirah of Malchut, which corresponds to the physical world in which we live. The story of Purim reveals to us how we as children of Israel are to survive in a world that is hostile to us simply because of who and what we are. This is a message for religious and secular children of Israel alike. For like today, there were Hilumim, assimilationists in the days of Mordecai and Esther. The evil Haman did not distinguish between what type of people these two different groups were. He wished to kill all the Jews, nor did Hitler, nor does Hamas. A Jew is a Jew is a Jew. Rabbi Bar Sadok believes it is about time we learn this lesson, as well as the lessons to come, for they are the salvation of the children of Israel in this day and age. Against our present day Hamans, with the revelation of the Arizal, we can truly be happy in Adar, the month of Pisces, the fish, for we know Nisan is coming ever so soon, and with it the final redemption and the release from our bondage. But in order to make it to Nisan, we must pass through Adar. Being happy is one of our weapons of defense. Learning the lessons of Mordecai is the other. Another way of understanding these two holidays is, in order to break free of the limitations that we have created for ourselves, we must first eliminate the doubts that we have about Hashem and Hashem's role in our life. So Purim is a holiday that's a vaccine against doubts. Once we have eliminated doubts, then we can take the steps to our own redemption, to our own breaking forth in freedom that is represented by Pesach. That last was a unwritten commentary. Continuing to read. In Pirkei Avot it is written, "It is not up to you to complete the work, but you are not free to avoid your share." Nowhere and at no time is this lesson more applicable than now. The following is an overall translation of the Kabbalistic meanings of Purim, taking from the writings of the Holy Ari, Rabbi Yitzhak Luria. Both texts of the Arizal offer complementary information. Therefore, I decided, rather than choose one over the other to translate, I took what was best and relevant from both texts and combined them. The sections from the Pri Etz Chaim will be introduced with the letters P-E-H, and the Sha'ar HaKavanot will be introduced with the letters S-H-K. The message of Purim is both profound and relates to us what potential we have in all arenas if only we take it upon ourselves to act with courage. The Secrets of Purim from the Pri Etz Chaim. Does anybody have any questions from what I've just read or said? Now it is known that all throughout the period of exile, the Noach, the feminine face, who is Rachel, stands back to back in relationship to Zeran Pim, the masculine face. However, as is known, the time of the episode of Purim occurred at the end of the 70 years of the Babylonian exile. At this time, the act of rectification began so as to restore them, Zeran Pim and Noach, to be in a face-to-face union so that Israel can be redeemed. This is my commentary to help you explain this. The word face is the Hebrew word partsuf. A partsuf, or a face, is a structure, a complete structure of 10 sephirot, from Keter through Malchut. When Zeran Pin and Malchut are back to back, they may or may not have a complete structure, a complete partsuf. But once they're face to face, they will be complete as to the 10 sephirot for each of them. So now the gates of Sha'ar HaKedushah. In order for this to occur, in order for the face-to-face to take place, Zeran Pim needs to fall into the trance of sleep. The trance of sleep in Hebrew is, though it's not really Hebrew, it's Greek, but it's dormita. And the Kabbalists use that term. In preparing this article, I reviewed both the Pri Etz Chaim and the Sha'ar HaKavanot on this subject matter of dormita and face-to-face. I found that the Sha'ar HaKavanot to have in some places a deeper explanation, whereas the Pri Etz Chaim in some places had more details, and in other places was brief and to the point. Rather than choose between the two books, I have decided to blend them together. By doing so, I pray that I have made the subject more comprehensive, and thus easier to understand. When I am quoting the Pri Etz Chaim, I will use the letters P-E-H. When I am quoting the Sha'ar HaKavanot, the letters are S-H-K. Exile runs contrary to the very nature of the world. Although the natural order of the world requires that godliness be concealed, to a certain extent, the deeper hiddenness brought about by exile is unnatural. Since exile runs contrary to nature, one may ask, why did Hashem give man the potential to bring about exile? The answer reflects Hashem's kindness. Hashem desires that man reach a level of connection with him that surpasses the limits of creation and unnatural bond, as it were. This will be realized in the era of redemption. Moreover, in his kindness, Hashem desired that man attain this level through his own efforts, for this to be possible, he employed it, employed a catalyst, exile. For exile also runs contrary to the natural order, but can be brought about by man's conduct. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, in the Paths of Our Fathers, is the source of this explanation. This is a footnote discussing what will become clear. The Noach, the word Noach is Malchut. It's also Rachel. These are metaphors for the partsuf of Malchut. The union of the Sephirotic Partsuf, the faces, correspond to the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. When Israel is serving Hashem obediently in accordance to what Hashem has ordained in the Torah, then the face of Rachel, the collective Israel, is said to be facing Hashem, who is there on pin. Hashem, in turn, is in full communion with Israel. And this relationship is thus called a face-to-face relationship. Yet when Israel sins by not observing the mitzvot of the Torah, the face of collective Israel, Rachel, is said to turn away from Hashem. Hashem therefore has to respond to this newly created state of imbalance in order not to encourage Israel's sins. Hashem lessens the amount of radiance that he shines upon Rachel. This lessening of radiance is referred to as Hashem turning his back towards Rachel. Thus their relationship turns from one of being face to face to being one of back to back. In order to rectify this situation, desire from below must raise above. In other words, when Israel repents, collective Israel, Rachel, desires to reunite with her husband. Israel's righteous actions on earth enable Rachel to turn back towards her husband, arousing him to face her once again. The righteous of that generation rectified Rachel throughout the entire 70 years of exile until such a time when they were able to restore her to her place. We're talking about the generation of Mordechai and Esther. The dormita, the trance of sleep, originated in the Garden of Eden, wherein it states that Hashem caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. Now Hashem forbid one should think that Hashem sleeps or slumbers, for it is clearly written, "Behold, the guardian of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps." But this is said from his perspective, not ours. The nature of this sleep is that it appears that Israel's God is not acting to assist them in any clear manner. When in our many sins we bring exile upon ourselves, we cause the face of Hashem to be unnaturally concealed. It is then up to Rachel to awaken her husband. We enable her through our actions, Our actions are strengthened by the mochin, the brains that Rachel and thus Israel received, as will be shortly explained. The purpose of this sleep will soon become evident. Now we're going to go to the Shari HaKivanot. This is the secret of the terrible troubles that Israel then experienced in the generation of Mordechai and Esther. And this is referred to as terrible great darkness, or as our sages have said, darkness refers to our exile in Persia, where the eyes of Israel were blinded. This is the removal of the Mochin from Zeranpin and their placement within Rachel, which rectifies her partsuf. This gives her the power to turn back to be face to face. Mochin are the sephirotic brains. These are the levels of Chachma, Bina, and Dat, as Sephirot in each sephirotic face. Each face receives its Mochin from the lower sephirot, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, of the face immediately above it. So the Netzach, Hod, and Yesod of one face descends below and serves as the Mochin of the face immediately below it. I hope that's clear. If not, please ask a question. When Israel sins, we strip Zeranpin of his Mochin. In other words, we short-circuit the spiritual order, disabling the supernal light from flowing in its natural manner. In order to rectify the situation, Rachel in turn receives the Mochin that Zeranpin had originally. It is now up to her, with this added strength, to take on the added responsibility of rectifying the world. Rachel does this through the Jewish people. So it was with Mordechai and Esther, who received the Jewish people, all the while Hashem's name was not mentioned, even once, for he is asleep, and it is they, Mordechai and Esther, who are Rachel, that are awake and taking the necessary actions. Now we're changing back to the PEH. The matter of Purim is related to the Sephirah of Hod, which is a branch of Givurah. This is the secret of wine, which is a reference to Givurah. Therefore, the miracle of Purim had to do with blood, this being the killing of the enemies of the Jewish people, and the celebration was with wine. Hanukkah is said to manifest Netzach, so there was victory at war. Purim manifests Hod, which is in the left column, just directly under Givurah, severity. As such, wine and blood, both signs of Givurah, were manifest on Purim. Now we're changing back to the PEH. Now these days of Mordechai were at the end of Zeranpin's trance of sleep. Therefore, the time had come for the sleeper to awaken. Sha'ar HaKiddushah. The trance of sleep was known to the evil Haman because he was a master astrologer and he knew the secrets of how to plot the times, as it is written, and he cast a lottery, a goral, from day to day. All the more so, it is written in the Zohar, that Haman and his 10 sons embodied the 10 levels of the Klipot. Haman knew in his wisdom of the weakening of Hashem's blessed providence, over Israel in those days due to the aspect of the dormita, the sleep. Therefore, did he conceive of the plan and the plot against the Jews, for he thought that the time was right for the enemies of the Jews to get rid of them. The Sephirotic alignment necessary for the miracle of Purim to occur was visible astrologically. The evil Haman thought he would be able to manipulate the time in his direction for his own good. As will be later revealed, Haman knew of the trance of sleep. What he did not know was the power of Rachel. This is the same mistake the enemies of Israel make today. This is what the mistake that the man from Germany made. This is the same mistake that our enemies have made throughout history. What is traditionally translated as lottery is best defined as an oracle. The biblical lottery is called the Goral. Gorals are used as a method of knowing the wishes of heavenly powers, be they good or evil. In Rabbi Barsadok's Sefer, called Sefer Segulot, I have translated the holy Goral of Ahitophel. I'm sorry, that is the book, one of the books of the Aris, the writings of the Ari, which is actually from Rabbi Chaim Vital. This sefer called the Holy Goral of Ahitophel is an excellent example of this type of spiritual communicative device. Haman used the Goral from the unclean side, which revealed him some things but not all things. This is an unwritten commentary by Hanok. Many people in today's world use a Goral. They ask a question and then they look up in a book. Not just any book, but any book. They look up in a book and where that book opens, the answer to their question is on that page. And then there are techniques of how to narrow the search to a specific sentence or verse. Many people utilize the writings of various sages for this purpose. Many people use the Bible itself. Many people use the Talmud itself. All of these are holy writings, holy books, and therefore you are getting correct answers in this process. But this process is open to your interpretation. This process is open to the level of knowledge that your unconscious can reach. It isn't as open as to include all the knowledge in the human lexicon. So this is the limit of the Goral, and this is why most Kabbalists tell us not to utilize that technique. I teach you to use a dream question technique. The same limitation from the Goral applies to the dream question. You are only going to receive the answer from your higher self. You're only going to receive the answer based on what you expect it to be. What limitations you put on your understanding of the universe. but it still is very effective, even with this limitation. But it is always good to know that this limitation exists. As outlined in Rabbi Bar Sadok's book, Yikra B'Shemi, which is Call Upon My Name, the forces of evil imitate the side of holiness by manifesting themselves in the form of 10 unclean sephirot. These were manifest in Haman and his sons, as also in the Nazis executed at the war crimes trial at Nuremberg. And the code that is in the small letters, I believe it's Taf Shin Zion. I believe it's Hey Taf Shin not Zion. It may just be the three. I don't remember exactly. I think it's four letters. I think it's Hey Taf Shin Zion, which is the year 1948. They were executed just after Rosh Hashanah that started the year. And there is a, on our website, there is a description of the radio announcer describing how these 10 human soldiers were hung, similar to the 10 sons of Haman. I hope someone will let me know that they're still connected because I've had some noises from my phone. So I just want to make sure that somebody is connected.
We're still connected.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the input. Continuing to read. We're in footnote 14. As Kohelet says, there is a time and a purpose for everything under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, and so forth. There are 28 times mentioned in this paragraph or this series of statements, however you want to describe it in Kohelet. It's chapter 3, I believe. So Haman, through his evil powers, was able to perceive of the psychic cosmic time cycle and attempted to manipulate it towards the forces of evil. Now we're back to the Prietz Chaim. Haman in Gematria is 96. All references to the number 96, Sadi Vav in Hebrew, refer to idolatry. For Haman saw Mordechai from within the Klipah, which is idolatry, which is in the realm of Asiyah, the world of action. Haman by nature was evil. Therefore, all information that he received from the spiritual realms would be contaminated by his evil. Thus, while he was able to recognize the weakness of Israel at the time, he perverted this knowledge and attempted to do evil with it. Thank Hashem, the righteous of that generation, Mordechai, knew how to neutralize Haman's evil, or no one would have remained. During World War II, many attempted to neutralize Hitler's evil, but only the Sephardi Kabbalists succeeded in keeping the Nazis out of the Holy Land and protected Middle Eastern Jewry. Rabbi Yehuda Fatiha, in his work, has been documented documented here in his Rabbi Bar Sadok's magazine called Panu Derech. Priyat Chaim. This is the secret of Haman when he said, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed. Our sages have said regarding the Hebrew word, yeshnu, there is, or there sleeps, that Haman was saying that Hashem of Israel was asleep, meaning their king, who is there on pin, was asleep. This is the trance of sleep. Yesh is translated as there is. The Hebrew word yeshnu also can be read as there sleeps. This is a play on the word yesh, there is, and yoshin, to sleep. Understand what was going on here. To this day, politicians use court astrologers. Just ask Nancy Reagan. Politicians like Haman are in the world of Asiyah, of the world of action, and are thus under the dominion of the forces of evil. So today, people in power, be it in business or politics, attempt to manipulate the times for their own advantage. There are very real times when each of us are strong or weak. Those who know an individual's astrological chart can foresee these times of weakness and these times of strength in a person's life and manipulate them accordingly. Nations are also under the collective influence of the stars, and knowledge of a nation's chart can be manipulated. Haman did this to Israel. Today, the U.S. and European nations regularly consult the stars and manipulate the times. Even Saddam Hussein chose the day to invade Kuwait, based upon astrological considerations. Shar HaKavanot. Yet the trance of sleep is for the good of Israel, so that the Nok, the Malchut, who is behind Zeranpin, will be removed from there and be restored to a face-to-face union, thus redeeming Israel and bringing about the building of the temple. Therefore did our enemies conspire against us, for at that time, when our Hashem was asleep, they would rise up to destroy and wipe out Israel, so that not even the smallest of the small would remain to see a redemption, and thus the temple would not be built. The forces of evil cannot see the full picture of Hashem's action. The forces of evil act upon what they know, not upon what they do not know. This is why evil will always fail in the long run. For Hashem's ultimate hand acts, whether it is seen or not. Though Zeranpin was asleep, the sephirotic faces of Abba and Ima were wide awake, as was Ari Chanpin. Hashem, who is the ultimate En Sof, is always awake, though his actions may be greatly concealed. When the wicked do not see the open hand of Hashem, they say that Hashem has no hand at all. God forbid. Hashem allows the wicked to make their errors, so as to fill up their measure of evil, so that he can then remove them from the world. Hashem desires the collective Israel, Rachel, create the desire to restore the supernal sephirotic harmony. So Rachel, who is behind Zeranpin, is given the opportunity to move to be in front of him, as explained above. Spiritual harmony will always be manifest in physical tangibles. When Israel is in harmony with Hashem, Hashem will bring about the building of the temple and the land. But this comes about only through Rachel's desire below, manifesting in physical action. What Rabbi Bar Sadok and the Ari is saying, in order to bring the building of the temple, in order to bring Mashiach, Israel, the collective Israel, needs to take the first step. In order for the collective Israel to take the first step, each individual of Israel must take their first step. Now, there are teachings from the modern Kabbalists who say it's not everybody in Israel, but only those who are studying the Kabbalah who need to take that first step, that first physical action that will cause the awakening of Rachel to move to the front of Zeranpin, of Adam, of Jacob, and for Jacob to then be woken up, and Zeranpin to be woken up. The desire of the forces of evil is that they maintain control of the realm of Asiya, the physical world. They can only do this by preventing Hashem's manifestation here upon the earth. Hashem's chosen vessels of manifestation are Torah and Israel. Therefore have the nations of the world endeavored with passion to pervert the holiness of Torah and to destroy the Jewish people, if not physically, then spiritually. This is an unwritten commentary. We are seeing in the Western world people that are being taught widespread teachings. It's time to pronounce the name of Hashem. It's time to call upon Hashem. And that would be fine if they were using the proper name. But they don't know it. And they're guessing. They're being directed by the negative system. And many people are falling to this perversion. Continuing to read. For once Israel is destroyed spiritually, physical destruction follows soon thereafter. This is what happened in Europe prior to the Holocaust, and what is happening now in the Holy Land. The only solution is for the powers of holiness to take a stand for Israel and the land of Israel and do what must be done, whatever that means. Now we're in the Sha'ar HaKavanot. Actually, I'm going to stop at this location. We're a little bit past time anyway, and we don't have time to finish today. So we will do it again on tomorrow night. Instead of a Tikkuni Zohar class, we will finish this this information, this translations of the writings of the Ari. Does anyone have any questions? Our class tomorrow at 4:30 West Coast time will be a deeper Zohar class. We will continue on our path of section 29. And then our 7 o'clock class tomorrow evening will be the completion of this class. I bid you all shalom and remind you that we will have on Wednesday at 7 p.m. after our 4:30 class, we will have a questions and answers session at 7, followed by an 8 o'clock session of the reading of the Megillah. So I bid you all shalom, unless you have questions now. Shalom to all.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Thank
shalom.
You.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Mm-hmm.